If you're robbed every single day and every single month through inflation, VAT, and other taxes, you are forced into a state of a higher time preference at all times. So you become more egocentric, more barbaric, more like you're willing to hurt other people to get what you want. Inflation is theft. There is no way around that. And this is the problem with fiat money. It has theft baked into it at all times. That banker figured out that, hang on a minute, I can give out more receipts than I actually have gold in my vault. And he did, and became insanely rich for doing so. He could even give people a percentage of the stolen goods. That became the interest on your savings. You get a tiny bit of whatever the banker counterfeited. And we still live in that system today, but even worse.
People understood exactly what was happening.
There would be a revolution.
There would be a revolution in the streets tomorrow.
We are missing out on all this exponential growth that could have happened had we not had the taxes and inflation. So slowly but surely opt out of these puppeteer designed systems and go into systems that were designed by the people for the people.
But the people are retarded.
Yeah.
Down a rabbit hole. Cypherpunk.
Welcome back to another episode of Cypherpunk. This is episode 5 of our Infinity series, and I'm here with Knut Svanholm. Today, we're going to discuss morality. Welcome.
Thank you. You're here with me and Penny.
Oh, and Penny. Yeah. she's our company mascot.
Yeah. I hope the penny doesn't drop here.
No, she's a little snuggle bug. she'll snuggle it up with you. So talk to me about morality. There's this, what is it, the Rene Descartes quote, where it's like, I think, therefore I am.
Yeah, which has later by other philosophers been revised to, I think, therefore some thinking is going on somewhere, which is closer to what you can actually prove.
Interesting.
Yeah. Talk to you about morality. Like, what do you want to know?
So tell me how this corresponds to money when we talk about the monetary system we currently live under versus other monetary systems. How does morality intertwine with all of this?
It's really super simple. If I claim that I own my own body and that human beings own their bodies because they're in control of their bodies, you can try to argue against that. But if you do, you by doing so, you show me that you're in control of your body because you need your body to argue, right? So therefore, human beings own their bodies. And that is the basis of property rights. Because if I find something in nature and I can call it mine, like if I make something from things I find in nature, that is called homesteading. Like I acquire something and therefore it is mine. You can argue that it's not mine and that it's yours. And the argument can lead to the conclusion that it is yours. But as soon as you stop arguing and start to use violence against me again, you're violating the only human right that can be true for all human beings at all times. And that is the right to be left alone. So if you base your morals around that, you come to the conclusion that don't steal is the only moral compass you will ever need, because that includes no violence.
It's kind of like the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, it is the non-aggression principle. Like if I beat you up, I steal from you. I steal your body from you, like or your ability to use it. So, by the way, this is interesting. I think that is my favorite of the Ten Commandments, and I would say that the first two commandments sort of violates the sixth commandment, I think it is, that is, don't steal. Because when they say that you cannot have other gods, they are stealing my options from me.
Oh, interesting.
So, to me, and to everyone who does deductive reasoning and uses the Austrian method to come up with what we can and cannot know, if we want to live in a civilized, like science cannot derive an ought from an is, but it can come damn close to an ought not. Because if we want to live in a civilized society, which every human being should, then we need to refrain from barbaric interactions and choose civilized interactions like this one. We're not using violence. This is a consensual trade. I talk to you, you talk to me, we both find it valuable, otherwise we wouldn't have done it.
Well, at least that's what our guests are seeing on camera right now.
Yeah, but as soon as one of us chooses to threaten do something violent against the other, it's no longer a civilized interaction, it's a barbaric one. So consensual means 100% civilized, violent means 100% barbaric.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a world where there's a bit of both. Everything around us is a product of both civilized and uncivilized interactions over the centuries. Mm-hmm. We've never had non-inflationary money before. I would say that Bitcoin being this, to most people, extreme form of free market mm-hmm. economy, that is the closest thing to 100% civilization that we have. It's the most moral type of currency there is because no one can manipulate it.
So yeah, let's press on that a little bit. What is so, if we use deductive reasoning here, what is so immoral about the way that current fiat money works?
It is theft. Inflation is theft. There is no way around that. If only a small percentage of inflation is theft. It's called fiduciary media, right? And it's all fake. Like the history of money of fiat money is that the bankers, some people in society had good places for other people to store their valuables in, usually gold. And the guy that stored the gold for others was called the banker.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave out receipts to people for stored gold. And that's how the monetary bill was born, because people realized they didn't need to withdraw the gold and trade that. They could mm-hmm. just trade the receipts with one another. And it's a very good system until that banker figured out that, hang on a minute, I can give out more receipts than I actually have gold in my vault. And he did, and became insanely rich for doing so. He could even give people a percentage of the stolen goods, that became the interest on your savings, which is, yes, you get a tiny bit of whatever the banker counterfeited. And we still live in that system today, but even worse, because like this system, whenever the customers of the clients of the bank figured out the scam, they would all try to withdraw their gold at the same time, realizing that it wasn't there. And what ensued was pitchforks and torches, and the
good old bank run.
Yeah, a good old bank run, and the banker was covered in tar and feathers or whatnot. Or killed. But then they invented the central bank, which acted as a lender of last resort that could bail out the banker. And thereby he was not accountable anymore for the counterfeiting. And we still live in this today. And this is the problem with fiat money. It has theft baked into it at all times. Bitcoin does not. It's impossible to inflate the money supply. Therefore, it is morally sound money.
But Knut, I went to government-funded school for 16 years, and they told me that I have all these fancy letters at the end of my name, and I learned about quantitative easing and quantitative tightening and TARP and COVID money stimulus and all these other words. What is all that?
Yes, sorry to disappoint, but they lied.
Are you telling me that...
Who funded the education?
Are you telling me that we don't... The taxpayer doesn't need to pay for a $1 billion new central bank building? So Jerome Powell and his 5,000 associates can all hang around there and, you know...
No, and by the way, inflation is always theft. And by the way, so are taxes. Unless they're paid voluntarily. Or with consent. Consent is a better word. Consensual is a better word than voluntary, because mm-hmm. you can point a gun at my head and say, pay your taxes. And I do so voluntarily because I prefer that to dying. but it's still not consensual.
It's a form of coercion for sure.
And this is also important to remember that ANCAPistan is not a physical place. It's a process. We can all... come closer to ANCAPistan by just giving less attention to what these extorters are demanding of us, and just start to live life more and more on our own terms. Turn off the TV. Don't watch the news. Curate your feeds and start using sats as for accepting sats for your goods and services. And it's better for everyone on earth.
You talk a little bit about in this chapter about religion and kind of the idea of a belief in an afterlife. And you kind of analogize that to a money printer.
The existential money printer. So if you were, this is the thesis of the chapter in the book. Like if you were immortal and indestructible, you would never need to do anything because you could always postpone everything to a later date. So the fact that your life, that your time here on this earth is finite is what gives it value. So in that sense, an afterlife is an existential money printer, if you will. And I believe a lot of, you can see this historically, civilizations grow much bigger once they invent ceremonial burial, and that is because when ceremonial burial is invented, you can fool young people that you will get closer to God if you go and sacrifice yourself killing your neighbor, and that's how they expand. So
throw in 42 virgins and maybe I'll think about it.
Yeah, exactly. this is like religions are like proto states, right? They're this intercollective, intersubjective thing that people believe in, and therefore, which is good for the flock because the flock expands, and that particular tribe grows bigger and bigger. But it's not necessarily good for the individual in the tribe that has to sacrifice themselves. So, and then later down the line comes the worst religion of all, and that is statism, where instead of believing in an afterlife, you now believe in the science, and you believe in the validity of your currency, which is just as fake as any imaginary friend in the sky, if not even more.
I've always thought about these big ideas, these intersubjective truths. Religion, for example, it creates this mass cooperation of people in a way. Have you ever pulled on that thread?
Yeah, absolutely. But it also puts psychopaths on top quite often. and they can use people's personal beliefs for their own agendas. And that's when it becomes organized religion rather than spirituality. I have nothing against individual belief or individual spirituality, but I find anything collectivistic that brainwashes a flock to be very, very scary, because it's always it always ends up using people for some psychopath always ends up on top using people for his own agenda.
People can justify a lot of things if it's, you know,
killing in the name of God. Like how many murders have been committed in God's name?
There's a lot.
Good. Like the road to hell is paved
with good intentions. Yeah.
Then again, if you take hell into account, funnily enough, so if you have this, if you live a good life, then you end up indestructible and immortal in heaven forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're bad, you end up in hell and you're suffering forever. Then that has sort of the same ethics baked into it as just thinking that life is finite here on this earth, because all of a sudden things are valuable.
Yeah.
But I personally think it's easier to come up with a moral and fulfilling way to live by admitting to yourself that your life is probably finite. You probably have a finite amount of time here on this earth, and that is what makes it valuable.
Interesting.
Scarcity.
What does spirituality look like to you? Are you a spiritual person? How do you think about that?
I think about life's big questions a lot. I don't know if that necessarily makes me a spiritual person. I think spiritual is one of those words that have a very vague meaning to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't look at crystals and get high very often. Like I don't think that's productive use of my time. So it depends on how you define spiritual. But I, one thing that I've noticed over the years is that in comparison to most other people I meet, I'm fine with not having an answer to stuff. Like, I don't feel a need to have an answer to unanswerable things. I'm totally fine with unknown unknowns, and that there are boundaries to what we can and cannot know. I try to focus on things that we can know, and like things that we can probably know, and that's how because I'm curious by nature, right? There are a whole bunch of things that most people don't know that most people should know about, especially in the realm of human action, because like praxeology is to the subjective what mathematics is to the objective. So if you want to understand the world, you need both.
Ah, I love that. How do you think about the idea of the philosophical argument? I feel like this chapter is kind of interesting. We can talk mm-hmm. about these different philosophical things. What about the this argument of the unmoved mover or the first mover? How do you react to that or think about that?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything in nature that points to there being one. I think most things emerge from a simpler set of rules, mm-hmm. including our human beings and their consciousness. From a praxeological perspective, an all-powerful being, so an all-knowing being, would never have to do anything, because the only reason we do stuff is that we have felt uneasiness that we want to get rid ourselves of. And we imagine a state of the future where we have done a thing and that uneasiness has been alleviated. So then we choose means to reach that end. And that is how this is the basis of how all human action works. But an omnipotent being wouldn't have an incentive to do anything ever because he would be indestructible and immortal, as I said before. And therefore, there's no reason to do anything.
Interesting. It's always fascinated me that the simple rules that have created reality.
The created is such a strange word.
I mean, that have fostered all of this.
Spawned reality.
Spawned all of these things into existence that we have today. I think about the very idea of morality itself. Like, if you take certain actions and certain decisions and you're more moral and you're cooperative and those things are self-rewarding based off of the underlying rules of reality.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, unmoral actions, I guess, stealing, robbing, like those things, you eventually will not be rewarded, you know?
This is what natural law is all about.
Yeah.
It is better for everyone if everyone exactly. lived by don't steal, we would all be better off.
Yeah.
And also, like, there's, if we go deep here, there's something to be said about, I mean, we are the universe reflecting mm-hmm. back at ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? So we cannot know to which, all we have are our senses to take in information. Mm-hmm. So, and our brains to do their deductive reasoning and planning and so on. So we don't know to which extent the mind creates reality. Mm-hmm. Back to Descartes, and I think therefore some thinking is going on somewhere. It's the only thing you can actually prove.
Yeah. It's fascinating too, how much of reality we actually see. We think we see all these things, but
yeah.
I was recently at a aquarium in Salt Lake City, and there was a part where it shows you, hey, like, if you're a ladybug, this is what you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like this just pixelated black and white images of everything.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, if you're a dog, this is what you see.
Yeah.
And it's like just kind of black and white. And then it's like, if you're human, you see this, and it just looks normal. And then if, like, it shows you, if you're a bird or a bumblebee, this is what you see. And it's like all this UV light and the image, like, you know, they try to make it so you can perceive it with your human eyes, but you just see, oh my God, I'm missing all of this extra stuff that you just can't even see.
And where does that end? I mean,
that's a good question.
Quantum mechanics shows us that there are probably the multiple universes theory is correct because it's the solution to the double slit problem that makes most sense.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the most sense that this is reality. The particle exists everywhere all at once, and we're just in the universe where it ended up here. So new universes are created all the time, and it's Yeah, you can go insane thinking about shit like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely interesting.
Salt Lake City, by the way, that's where my favorite religious group in the entire world.
Me too, man. Me too. I, you know, four or five wives, the Mormons, yeah. They just, you know, they got it figured out. It seems like the crazy Christianity sects, like we've got our own crazy stuff going on, but they're nonviolent. They're like, you know, hey,
the Book of Mormon is such a great musical. It's one of my favorite pieces of art in the last 10 years.
Oh my goodness,
it's so good, and it's without you know being mean to Mormons. I hear Mormons themselves like it a lot.
Yeah, well, I can't blame them. I mean, you know,
yes.
But it is kind of wild. Like they've got these tablets supposedly that only this one guy saw. It's like they can make a
yeah. But it's what's funny to me about that is that is not more ridiculous than any of the other. Like if the yeah. Book of Mormon is part three of it's the Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi. Well.
But the other two are just as fictitious as that. Mm. So like
yeah,
probably. Yeah.
Very wild, very wild. Before we close out this chapter, one thread I want to pull on when it comes to morality and, you know, taxation and inflation. I want to discuss a little bit more how taxation and inflation force higher time preference and essentially immoral behavior, as one would say.
Yeah. So if you're robbed by a thief, you can learn from that experience and take precautions. You can buy a vicious guard dog, such as Penny here.
She's very vicious. Yeah. You better watch out. She's been known to chomp off a couple fingers.
or you can buy a surveillance system, like a home safety security system, and you can buy a gun here in the U.S. at least. But with you're forced into a state of higher time preference, like we talked about in the earlier chapter, right? If you're deprived of everything you own, you are in a state of high time preference. You need to food and shelter, and you're scared. So it's a fearful state of being, having a lot of stuff and being able to keep it and knowing that you will keep it for a long time gives you a lower time preference. It's a state of love and hope instead of a state of fear. But if you're robbed every single day and every single month through inflation, VAT and other taxes, then, and you have little to defend yourself with, then you are forced into a state of a higher time preference at all times. So you become more egocentric, more barbaric, uh-huh. more like you're willing to hurt other people to get what you want. And a free market with sound money is a moral system that incentivizes. It's a win-win-win-win-win mm-hmm. scenario where everyone wins.
Yeah.
Like success doesn't come at the expense of another person. In fiat, it does. So people fuck other people over when they didn't have to.
It's I saw something the other day that was like, it just blew my mind. It's like, we really don't even realize how much is being extracted. Obviously, there's the inflation piece, which most people have no idea. I think there's a famous quote. I think it's Andrew Jackson who said, if people understood how, or I can't remember who exactly said it, but people understood exactly what was happening. There would be a revolution in the streets tomorrow.
Mayor Amstel Rothschild.
Was that a Rothschild quote? I think, interesting. Yeah. Paul, can you look that up? And we'll see who said that quote.
Like the big thing, I think we went into this yesterday, but what we don't see, this is a great, the great Bastiat, Frederick Bastiat book is called the Things We See and the Things We Don't See, where it points out that we are missing out on all this exponential growth that could have happened had we not had the taxes and inflation.
Yeah, I think that's I was telling you about that Roger Ver speech I watched.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what he was saying. He was basically saying exactly that. And I saw something that was like, you know, hey, I got a $100 bill and I pay my doctor, and then the government takes a percentage of that, whatever, $95. Yeah. And then that person turns around and pays the plumber, and the government takes a percentage of that, and the plumber turns around and goes to the grocery store, they take 10%. So by the time that money has circulated in the economy, it's no longer $100, it's 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%, 10%. Now it's, you know, it's been totally eviscerated.
Yes, and the purchasing power of the dollar has gone.
And at the same time, they're printing money
in the last 100 years.
Yeah, it's how it blows my mind to think that how civilization has actually just even done so well, given the amount of theft and, you know, 10% for the 20% for the big guy that keeps getting taken or whatever.
No, Roger Ver said some clever things back then.
Yeah.
More rarely so now, nowadays.
So I have the quote. It was from Henry Ford.
Oh, Henry Ford.
Henry Ford. All right.
Yeah. It is well enough that people of the nation do not understand our banking and monetary system.
Oh, yeah.
For if they did, I believe there would be a revolution before tomorrow morning. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Henry Ford. It's been associated with him.
According to Grok.
According to Grok, yeah. Which Grok is now, Grok's having some major problems. Elon's been freaking out about it. But I was talking to Grok the other day, and it's using George Soros funded political things as sources and stuff. It's kind of wild.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet. That's an Abe Lincoln quote.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So
you know the one with the mustache.
Are there any closing thoughts you want to add to this chapter on morality?
Don't steal. And that's very hard to live by, because every time you use fiat currency, you do. You're stealing from your children. So opt out, slowly but surely opt out of these, your puppeteers, puppeteer designed systems, and go into systems that were designed by people. By the people, for the people.
But the people are retarded.
Yeah. You've seen the thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no. Don't steal is what I'd like to end on.
I think that's a great closing thought. We'll be back for episode 6.